here and virtually. You may reference our webcast guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same page, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or a tool or participate in any other way in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. We ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? Yay, they're all here. Welcome. The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, I'm Chris J., a grateful compulsive overeater from Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Hi, what Chris. Is...
Hi, good to be here. How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous?
Chris, we can't see you.
Okay.
There you go. Hi, Chris.
Hi. All right. Technology is a wonderful thing. How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring
Chris, you may have, we're not hearing you. You may have frozen. Mary will finish it off. Thanks, Mary.
Howe began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in Howe's sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide.
Thanks, Mary. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, this is Michelle C., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found to be effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the Howe concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share and their own are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle. Would someone please read the Howe concept?
Hi, I'm Chris J. from Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Can Hi, Chris. We can hear you, but we can't see you again.
Can't see me again. Okay.
There you are.
The Howe concept. The Overeaters Anonymous Howe meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. Howe groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA Howe, our daily action plan is outlined in the structure, use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the Howe of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that Howe ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and taking the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offer us the promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen.
Thanks, Chris. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer? Tamara, we can't hear you. It looks like you're muted.
Okay. My name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even when many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the doctor's opinion in the Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If the sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he or she does not experience. Finally, we must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. That's from the family. Afterwards, the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We're always here for you. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Yes, can you, this is Abby, compulsive eater. Can you see me?
Yes, we can see you. Hi, Abby.
Can you see me now?
Yes. Oh, no.
Okay, you can't? Okay. You can't read from the same device that you're on. Okay. You can't read from the iPad while you're being, okay. Try and explain it. Okay. Sorry, one second. Can't do three things at once. Okay, Abby, compulsive eater in Maryland. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 through 11, starting with paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we've acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We've eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We've eaten food off other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We've dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We frequently lied about what we have eaten. lie to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We've stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We've also stolen money to buy food. We've eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We've continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We've isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we've turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday, quote, have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. These worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on eating, kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thanks, Abby.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. How It Works.
Betty.
Rarely have we... Yep. Oh, hi. Okay. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May we find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thanks, Betty.
Thanks, Betty.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
I am unmuted. Hi. Hi there. I'm Jody, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota.
Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Jody.
Thank you. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a reaching, searching, and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are all willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we've set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Pass.
Thanks, Jody. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, each or every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 6, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program, which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used. Yep, that's what they say. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Mary, would you be willing to be our timekeeper?
I will.
Thank you. Virtual participants will receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, this is Kelly, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly.
Can you guys hear me? Hi, and Mary, if you can just say time if I go over, because on my phone it's really hard to see in the chat when I'm at my 3 minutes. Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing and how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. 1, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. 2, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. So this is my first time pitching on this tool. I am going to show you the scales that we use. The first one, I bought this. I've actually never used it in HOW before, this particular scale. I've used a spring-loaded scale once, and it was in an emergency. So the spring-loaded scale is good because it's no batteries, and it kind of folds together really nicely, and you just tear it out. So you have to use a slide in the back to get it to zero, put your food in. This for me, I just like for emergencies because I had to get down and really see what my food was at, but it was perfect to use again on a road trip with no scale. My favorite scale to use is just this one I got on Amazon. It's sturdy. I tear it out. I weigh in ounces or grams, tear it out when I need to. I gave it a little cleanup today because she was going to be on TV, but you know, I use this minimum like 3 to 4 times a day. So this can get kind of dirty, but most of you know what this is. Say hello to Joseph and Joseph. This is the Joseph and Joseph travel scale that all you guys made me get. It's available on Amazon too. It's super discreet. It requires a little more of a gentle touch, but I swear people on how keep Joseph and Joseph in business. So again, a little dainty touch, but goes right in a purse super nicely. And then we have our measuring spoons. I weigh most everything except for a coffee creamer. But if you're going to use a tablespoon or a teaspoon, you just level it off. I don't have any. So you're just going to use a straight edge to level it off. So those are, it does say to talk about an abstinent kit, which I did want to mention. This is what mine looks like. This is something I picked up at, how cool is that? If you can see it, this is a half cup, so it can go in my purse nice and flat, and then boom, at the restaurant or wherever I am, I can weigh out of this one. It has actually all of the different sizes. But in my abstinent kit means I'm desperate and I don't have what I need, so I need good backup. So just some ideas, like this is some brown jasmine rice. I could pop in a microwave. Any non-perishable items with a pop top, although I have a can opener. Some nuts I can use as a fat or a protein. I have a decaf peppermint tea because if my girlfriends are going to Starbucks, I want to go too. And I want to have some tea and stay abstinent and drink with them. Some people, this is like a clown car. How does all this fit? A V8 to get your veggies in on the go. Some dried fruit if you can have it on plan. I have sparkling waters rolling around in my car because I'll eat them cold or lukewarm. So just an idea of, I thought that the abstinent kit did apply to me. I thought I'd always have a scale and everything I would need. And so I had to learn that quickly, that these people, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And when they say build an abstinent kit, they mean it. The other thing was just a phone. I remember being in the hospital and I had to ask someone to bring my phone charger because in how we need our phones. So that was my abstinent kit, but I'm going on. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance, 5, unless advised otherwise by our doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number 6, we do not drink alcohol. Number 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugars listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients listed label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra strengthening that counts. It is this decision to take it. And for me, my plan of eating, my food plan has just saved me in this program. It is written by a dietitian, someone who has studied the science of eating and what I need in my body. And it's personalized to me based on my height, weight, activity level. And I've got to say, I was just talking with a hookup. We sent pictures of our amazing, beautiful meals, and we're so lucky to be abstinent and free from the obsession and just truly enjoying our meals. And it's just taken care of. How gives me the discipline that I plan my meals for the day. And I love the expression, food is black and white so we can live life in color. Before program, I never knew where my next meal was going to come from. And I was kind of white knuckled it. And so to just know food, I mean, life is just going to bring me the curveballs, whack-a-mole, whatever's coming my way, but food is just one less thing. And should plans change and my food falls on the floor, then I got a backup, you know? So the other thing I just wanted to say was, I quickly mentioned the phone and some will pitch on it, but just the importance of having the phone for a food change or a food mistake. We have 3 dogs in the house. I'm surprised they haven't made a cameo here, but my stuff falls on the floor and they get it before I even have a chance for it. So I get to make calls on the 3 dogs. And I love that I don't have to figure things out. I call, I get a sponsor on the phone and they help me figure out, you know, what I couldn't do myself. And I love also the positive thinking in here. I love in how that we do our gratitudes in the morning and we give them to our sponsor, because for me, that really reframes my day. is it time? In the disease, I could tell you 20 things that were going wrong with my day. And I love that and how we abstain from negative thinking. And I get to start my day with positivity and continue that throughout my day with my hookup calls. Okay, I think I'm almost out of time, but that's what I got. Thank you. Pass.
Kelly. Thanks, Kelly. Sponsorship.
Hi, this is Carrie from Minnesota. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Hi. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to the living and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor. No list of reflections and meditations are end-all or be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchasing books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that's the problem. It's the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program immutably trimivorate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. When I first got into the program, I was surprised that it took 70 days to become a sponsor. I thought, well, why can't anybody be a sponsor right away? And now that I'm almost 5 months into the program, now I feel like I need a little bit more time to actually become, like, I think maybe it should be twice that, because I feel a little bit under I'm a little hesitant to be responsible for somebody else's sobriety. But somebody told me in the program that if you have a sponsee, that means that you are sober. And so that's one way to think of it, that sponsorship helps both sides. It helps both the sponsee and the sponsor. I've never actually been responsible for anything except I have a couple animals, but I don't have kids or anything. So I'm a little scared to take on the role as a sponsor, but I am going to take action in the program and be a sponsor, because taking action in this program is what promises us recovery. We're promised recovery if we take action. It's not a program of trying to figure it out. It's a program of doing the steps, doing the tools, and keep on keeping on, no matter what's happening in our lives during the day. So with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Carrie. Well, all sponsors, Howe and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and Howe? How long abstinent in OA and Howe? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish, sponsors may announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line starting at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a "you are unmuted by host" screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and 6 on your telephone keypad.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 and a half years of abstinence in OA Howe. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, I'm Mary G., compulsive overeater. I came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to Minnesota, St. Paul, in October 2012. My first meeting was on Halloween. I became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Heidi.
Hi, my name's Heidi. I am a compulsive overeater. I came directly into Howe in October of 2007, and I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I quickly gained 110 pounds back and returned 2.5 years later. I am currently down 65 pounds, I think, and my current abstinence date is July 26, 2019. Thank you.
Megan?
Hey, y'all. This is Megan from Virginia. Let's see, I found OA in the summer of 2006, and I came into Howe in February of 2009. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th, 2015. Let's see, I've given away 85 to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor, and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. This is Megan in Virginia, and I pass.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater in Port Alberni, BC, Canada. I came into Overeaters Anonymous 8 years ago and had short spells of abstinence in that program. And I came into Howe on September 19th, 2019, and have stayed abstinent since. I am a newish sponsor, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Tamara.
My name is Tamara, compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. Heard about the Howe program, became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. I lost, because of the miracles of this program, I lost 97 pounds from my top weight with 75 pounds lost in the Howe program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. And with that, I pass.
Betty.
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been involved in Overeaters Anonymous for the decade of the 90s, and then I found Howe in August of 2019. 2017. Since August 8th of 2017, I have been an abstinent person and I have been relieved of more than 100 pounds. Thank you.
Ruth?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Ruth in Connecticut.
Hi, this is Georgia in Wisconsin. I came into OA in August of 1986 and into HOW in February of 2005. I had 8 years back-to-back, a 3.5-year relapse, and my current recommitted abstinence date is July 26th of 2018. I'm a 2-hour house sponsor and I am maintaining a 75 to 80 pound weight loss. Georgia and Wisconsin. Pass.
Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Jay from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I entered HOW in January of 2005. My black and white abstinence date is July 26, 2007. I've maintained a 123-pound weight loss and are currently discerning sponsoring somebody. And with that, I'll pass.
Caroline.
Hi, everybody. I'm Caroline, compulsive eater and bulimic. I'm a grateful member of the HOW Fellowship. My back-to-back abstinence recommitted dates from September the 6th, 2016. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and free from binge purging for more than a decade. I came into HOW in 2006. With that, I'll pass.
Rebecca. Can't hear you, Rebecca. Deborah.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. This is Deborah. I am an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is August 23rd, 2015. I am down over 15 pounds from my top weight. This is Deborah from Missouri.
Debbie.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in February of 2005. I started working the HOW concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am maintaining over 100-pound weight loss, and I pass.
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Kelly, compulsive overeater in Southern California. I came to HOW in October 2019. My date is February 27th, 2019, and I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Pass.
Abby. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Abby, compulsive overeater in Maryland. I came to OA in the late 80s. I came to HOW in the 90s. I left HOW. I left OA and HOW and returned in the late 2000s. Nonetheless, my current abstinence in HOW dates to January 20th of last year. I've lost and regained about 80 pounds. I've also been 10 pounds lighter, and I'm an OA House sponsor. Thank you.
Rivetel.
Hi there. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Rivetel. I walked into the OA rooms in December of 2004, was unable to maintain any form of stable abstinence. was introduced to the two-hour Oi How program in May of 2017, where I became abstinent on May 23rd, 2017, and continue by the grace of God and the power of this program, one day at a time, to be abstinent. Thank you.
Carrie?
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater here in Minnesota. I came directly into the rooms of How on September 21st of last year and became abstinent. I am down total 35 pounds, 25 in How, and I am a sponsor.
Jody.
Hi, I'm Jody in Minnesota, and I have been in OA How since November of 2009. My current abstinence date is November 10th of 2019, and I have been relieved of 100 pounds. Thank you. Pass.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda, compulsive overeater from Chicago. I have been in OA How since February 11, 2019, so I'm coming up on 1 year soon, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds, 43 in OA How, and I am an OA How sponsor. Thank you.
Rebecca.
Hi, can you hear me now? Can you hear me this time?
Yeah.
Ah, thank you all. Okay. Hi, I'm Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sponsor in the two-hour OA How format. I have lost 50 pounds since coming to OA How last February. I recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is November 14th, 2019, and I'll pass.
Are there any other sponsors, either virtually or on the phone? If you're on the phone, press star and six on your phone to unmute yourself. Last call. Anyone else? Any other sponsors?
Hi. Yes, hi. This is Melanie from Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I am a two-hour OA How sponsor, thank God. I first was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in the fall of 1989 with an abstinence date through How of November 5th, 2005 at that time. I have an anniversary date, though, in How of November 5th, 2018. Grateful for that, too. I have maintained over 165-pound weight loss for about 13 and a half years. Melanie from Oregon.
Anyone else? Any other sponsors?
Caroline?
Oh, I already went on the sponsor line. I'm gonna read anonymity. That's why I'm
okay. I think that's all then. So clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or How, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie, welcome.
Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may, in effect, help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, "Your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery." Recovery on a threefold level: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers: please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here. For me, the anonymity part of the program it was really what attracted me to this, to the rooms, because I am not a trusting person. I really don't trust anybody. And I remember in the beginning of coming to meetings, and they'd make me stand up in front of the group and read, and you know, you guys were always hugging me and touching me and all that kind of stuff. And it, you know, I would stand up and I would pull my hair down over my face so you couldn't see me, because I didn't want to be known. I didn't want to be seen, because I was so filled with shame. But you guys kind of loved that out of me, and you accepted me regardless of where I was at, regardless of you know, what kind of things that I was saying, what kind of secrets I was sharing with you. You kept my secrets, and you still liked me. You know, you still wanted me to come back, and you still welcomed me. And for me, that's what anonymity really did. It helped build that trust gave me that trust in humanity back. So with that, I'm going to pass, and I thank y'all for being there tonight.
Thanks, Debbie. Telephone calls.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm a compulsive overeater and a very, very brand new shy sponsor. So that's why I didn't have a spiel ready. But I'm going to read about the telephone and talk about it the best I can. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 phone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So having been in and out of OA with not a lot of consistent success for 30 years, and not all of that in how, but at least 3 other times in how, where I came and left, I must tell you that a big key for me stepping up a couple weeks ago was the telephone. I don't believe that I ever really gave the telephone the consistent practice of making those 3 calls a day until I, joined Hal again at the end of September. Early October was when I started my journey, and I really struggled in the beginning to make calls, but in the end, it really proved to be the key to my being able to have abstinence on a day-to-day-to-day basis. And I had to learn how to make this practice work for me every day. And it was a lot of work at first to make 3 phone calls. I have a full-time job, and I'm just like anyone else. I'm no different. Everyone is making their 3 calls and their sponsor calls. I have found that in the telephone calls is really where I have been able to listen and learn and also talk about the nuts and the bolts of what this really is for me on a day-to-day basis and what it is for other people. So I have sometimes, you know, if someone calls me, I try to, be there for the other person first so that I can find out, are they wishing to talk about a problem or are they wishing to ask me something? And then I try to take it from there. One question that I've learned how to ask a little bit is just to kind of, if I'm with somebody new, I just ask, how are things today in your head and in your heart? And then just listen and let them, maybe think about that and answer. Or sometimes I have a specific thing that I've been asked by my sponsor to talk with others about. So there are lots of ways that I have approached doing my phone calls. I am Eastern time and I don't get home from work until 6 o'clock. So I have had to, call Pacific time more than probably others because I just don't, I have a job that's very public at a front desk and I can't really take calls or make calls at all really, except maybe one on my lunch hour. So I do a lot of my calling in the evening and that works for me. I also have had lots of good advice from people who are in the program who've known me many years and who really care a lot about me, who remind me, yes, it's hard at first, but when you are, when you're having trouble, make several calls and leave messages. It's like money in the bank because the next day you will get lots of calls and it's almost effortless. Everybody has something to share. Okay. Didn't think I'd be able to talk at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Bridget. Meetings.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Rebecca B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rebecca.
Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. All right. Having picked this one at the last minute, I too will do my best. I am also very proud to announce, in case no one else is paying attention, there are 45 people on this meeting right now. And, you know, if you think of all the other meetings for OA HOW or in-person meetings that you go to, you know, there might be 4 people at some of the meetings in my area, tops. I've been to other meetings where there are 2 people holding it down, keeping a meeting open. And so we are really blessed to have 45 different voices that can share their experience, strength, hope, positivity at meetings. And, you know, another thing that I really like in the beginning of the format, the leader's format script, it always talks about how, you know, we keep things positive on the meetings and we take our problems to specific individuals or, you know, to people outside of the meeting. I'm not saying that right, but it's something like that, right? And I think that's so true. But even if you're talking about your problems in a meeting, there are so many ways to talk about things positively and in a way that you are both practicing being positive, because it is hard for me. It's really hard for me. You know, my job is to find out what's wrong and then fix it. So I'm constantly looking for the problem, you know, instead of just enjoying the blue sky or whatever. But the meetings are a chance to practice and then model, which is what I'm doing now. I'm modeling positivity, not productivity. Sorry. I am not a model of that. But I really enjoy the meetings and I'm so grateful for all of you. Oh my gosh, we're up to 47 people now. Now you're just spamming numbers or something to make me happy. This is great, guys. I'm easily distracted. I think I'll just pass right there and just say I'm so grateful for all of you here today. Couldn't do it without you. Really, I could not be in HOW without the other people on the phone, the people in the room, on the Zoom, on the, you know, everything. So thanks. I'll pass.
Thanks, Rebecca. Literature and writing.
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Okay, tools 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see our situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So, when I was in regular OA, I would hear the tools read out every week, and I thought, oh, you know, one day I'll be that OA member who writes every morning and reads her meditation books and meditates, and I'll be so spiritual. And it was almost like vowing to go on a diet or something. You know, I'll start tomorrow. I'll start writing tomorrow. You know, I was no fool. I haunted this meeting for weeks before I came into Howe, and I heard what you folks were doing, and I thought, wow, like, that's what I've always wanted to do, but I've never been able to maintain that habit of reading and writing. Plus, I'm a notoriously slow reader and writer. And so when I started, I found it really arduous. The first 60 questions I found really, at first, the reading was a lot. It would take me at least an hour to do my reading and writing every night. I found that was probably where most of my frustration was in being a newcomer in Howe. Completely forgetting that doing all the work, my cravings had disappeared. I was, you know, eating healthy food and feeling good. And so there was something working there. And, you know, once I got to about the 40th question, the question started getting easier to write about. And I don't know whether it's because my attitude was shifting or just because the questions got a little meatier. And the reading seemed to be a little less somehow, or I was reading it faster. I'm not sure what was going on. And then once I got into step four, now I'm in step five. I love the reading and writing. Like, the reflecting has been amazing. I started out only writing between a half page and two pages. And now I write two pages every day. And I find that sometimes I'm cramming in my last sentence on the final line, trying to fit it in there. Because somehow the two pages is enough to bring me to a conclusion that makes a lot of sense. And so anyway, I'm going to keep doing that every day and do it with you all. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane. Service.
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Hello, welcome.
You're muted, Deborah, so we can't hear you.
Am I good now?
We can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, I'm Deborah, and from Missouri, gratefully recovering in this program. And let's see, I'm going to read the tool of service. And it says here, There we go. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the most basic form of our fellowship. Oh, let me back up. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship, and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, a life of sane and happy usefulness, unquote, is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. I was thinking of an often reflected upon story in the Big Book, and it's the story of part of Bill's story I believe it's Bill. He's in this bar. I guess he's having either a lunch break. He's thinking about drink, taking that next drink. And then somehow between that thinking about the next drink, and I can almost visualize the bar in front of him. And then off to the right, as we know, or off to the left, somehow he goes to the phone. He thinks about the idea of what can I do to help others. So he picks up the phone, and I believe he calls in the hospital and ask if there's someone there that he can talk to. And it is in that taking of that very simple but powerful step that he was able to divert himself from that drink and went out and actually shared his story with another fellow. So I'm grateful today that I don't have the kind of situations where I have to be torn between that next compulsive bite or do I reach out for other folks? But I really like what it says here, do what you can when you can. And today the quality of my service continues. It can be something as small as when I'm on the phone talking with the fellow, and I know that the person is going through something difficult. I can ask additionally, what else can I do to help support you this morning? And that seems to be something small, but I'm always struck at the feedback that I get from that other person, a range of responses that really somehow convey to me that one extra, those few words, what can I do to further support you today? It means quite a bit. So the small efforts, the few words, all the way up to something as big as, for me, going through the extra step of having to toggle the technology to be able to have the video up and the reading up at the same time and to be present. All of that to me is that I'm a participating and showing up and being visible to support the meeting. And then those of you who are new to this program, hopefully you'll continue to come back and continue to listen. You can have what we can have. And I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Deborah. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service? Yay, service! If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add it to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone here who has not yet signed the book? Okay, the Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time in the meeting room, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? And we are all returning here in the room. But if you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad. Is there anyone virtual who is joining us for the first time that would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, my name's Lauren. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Lauren.
I can't figure out how to show myself.
Whether you show yourself or not, we welcome you.
Thanks.
Oh, sorry. Okay, hi, I'm Melissa. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's my first time at this meeting.
Hi, Melissa, welcome.
Hi, my name is Mara Kremet, and I'm a compulsive eater from Spokane, Washington. And this is my first time.
Could you repeat your name again, please?
Mara Kremet.
Mara? Mara, welcome, yeah. Mara.
Thank you.
Is anyone else joining us for the first time? Star and six on your phone, or turn on your video and unmute your line. Okay. I don't, oh, is there someone else?
Marissa, yes.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome.
Oh, there we are.
There you are. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for joining.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else joining us for the first time? Okay, well, welcome to everyone that has joined for the first time, and welcome back to everyone else. May we please have a treasurer's report?
How about now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater and the treasurer for this meeting. Our current balance is $842.97, of which we need to keep a $500 minimum balance, and our rent for February is paid. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks, Heidi. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refining the technology, develop other OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room. And for those joining virtually, you may go to mnhowlive.org to donate. We've got some bad news for you. Yep, it was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take that first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? I have a couple of announcements here. I'm Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. Just wanted to let everyone know that next week we are going to be celebrating. We are going to be celebrating with Erlinda, who is having her 1 year anniversary. Yay! And then also just wanted to remind you of a couple of there she is. Remind you of a couple of events that are coming up in March, taking place here in Minnesota. There is a Quick Steps workshop. And then in April, we have our Buffalo Retreat, which is April 3rd to April 5th, which takes place at a nice retreat center about 45 minutes or so west of the Minneapolis area. And for both of those events, you can find information on the Unity Intergroup website, which is overeaters.org. And then also mark your calendars for the end of May, which is our big book study. And that information for that is also available on overeaters.org. And I believe that there will be a webcast for that. Is that correct, Howard? As well. And that was the last weekend in May. And again, take a look at overeaters.org. Are there other announcements? Georgia.
Yes. Just a reminder for those who go to phone meetings, the Wednesday night phone meeting, which has always met, started at 8 Eastern time and gone till 10. Starting tomorrow night, we'll be starting at 7 Eastern time and going to 9 o'clock. So we're starting an hour earlier. Try to accommodate people who don't want to stay up so late.
Great. Thanks, Georgia.
Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Okay, literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. I'm Sheila and still a compulsive overeater, and this is the sound of medallions. I don't really know what that sounds like virtually. It sounds kind of cool here in the room. You know, we like to celebrate at our HOW meetings, and you know, essentially every day we get to celebrate. But we do have special little tokens for some of those milestone events, is I guess what I'll call them. And so, is anyone here tonight celebrating 9 or more years of abstinence? One day at a time, 9 or more years of abstinence. Not tonight. How about, is anyone celebrating between 5 and 8 years of abstinence tonight? Or 3 years? 2 years? What about 18 months? Is anyone celebrating 18 months of back-to-back abstinence tonight? Keep coming back. How about 1 year? Is anybody celebrating 1 year tonight? I don't think not tonight, but next week. So come back next week. And what about 9 months? 6 months? 3 months? What about 2 months, 60 days of back-to-back abstinence?
Hey. Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Tamara.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Tamara, you do not need a medallion, is that correct?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I have one even
We're sending
in my
you
heart.
Virtual yeah. hugs.
Thank
We're
you.
We're sending virtual
Thank you.
Hugs.
Thank you.
What about, this was the next one is one of them that was very, very special to me, but 30 days, one month, 30 days of back-to-back abstinence. This is like a huge milestone because.
This, can you hear?
Yes.
This is Lisa. I have 30 days today. I don't know how to make myself be seen.
Okay, well, Lisa, congratulations. Would you like us to mail you a 30-day medallion?
Yes, I would love one.
Perfect. Can you send a private message maybe to the operator and with your address, and we'll get this in the mail to you? And what we will do is we're actually going to pass this around in the room, and we're all going to put our good wishes on it for you.
Okay, I think there I am.
Yep, there you are. Congratulations.
Yay, Lisa. Thanks.
And then the last one that I have to offer is what we call the 24-hour medallion. This medallion does not mean that you're committing to being abstinent for 24 hours. It doesn't mean, it just means that maybe you saw something here tonight or heard something here tonight or something that inspired you to maybe just do something a little bit different. people can also take a 24-hour medallion if you're maybe struggling with something kind of going on and you just need like an extra boost or need some extra reassurance. You can have one of these 24-hour medallions. It's great to like keep these in your pocket when you're really struggling and just to stick your hand in your pocket and then feel it in there. And it's just like a nice reminder that you're not alone and that you can get through whatever it is you may be struggling with or might need help with. Can I offer a 24-hour medallion to anyone tonight?
I would definitely love one.
Hi, Mara. Would you like us to send you one?
Yes, please.
Okay. Would you maybe put your address in the chat, private message to the operator, and we will pass this around in the room, put our good wishes on it. And then congratulations.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mara. I have lots of these 24-hour medallions. Can I offer them one to anyone else? They're free. It comes with a virtual hug. Okay, well, if you change your mind, just put something in the chat and we'll make sure you get one. Okay, step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors by the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups to I don't believe so, but keep coming back. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversary, we invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to come to the front of the room for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight? I don't believe there's any tonight, but come back next week. Virtual attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. And the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes, and I guess that's me. And I guess five is plenty. Compulsive overeater. And I'm not very well prepared, so I'm going to apologize in advance. The leader tonight had a conflict, so I just found out about this a little bit later this afternoon. So I'm just gonna kind of, I don't know, ad lib this or ad hoc this right now. But I guess when I did take a few moments to think about what it is, what should I talk about for a few minutes, I just thought I would maybe start by talking about some things that I'm reading about for my assignments right now. Right now, I'm reading out of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for Overeaters Anonymous, the second edition. And I absolutely like love this edition. And then there's also kind of a study guide or a workbook with it. And then I'm answering the questions and writing out answers to those questions. But over the last few days, I've been in step three and reading in answering questions out of step three. And recently kind of what came up in here is there was a lot of focus on God's will. And, you know, that's something I've kind of struggled with. Like, you know, we hear, okay, do God's will, or what is God's will for me? Well, how do I know what God's will is for me? Like, I've struggled with it, to be honest. And in this step three from this book, there's just some great things and even some wonderful examples of God's will that just really got me thinking. So I'm just going to read a little bit, and some of it I might paraphrase a little bit, but it says, if something has repeatedly worked well for us or for someone else in a similar situation, we may assume it will work in our present situation, ultimately bringing good to us and to others, which is God's will. And here was a great example that I could so relate to. It says, for instance, we might find from experience that when we're feeling unstable, going to OA meetings helps us to reconnect with other OA members and our higher power. Thus, we can assume it's God's will for us to keep attending meetings regularly, even when we don't feel like it. I don't know about you, but my experience has been, I'm not always super excited to come here every Tuesday night. It might be that it's too cold outside. It might be it's too hot outside. It might be that it's just too nice outside. It might be that I'm too tired. I have other things to do, whatever it might be that I'm not always super excited about. Most of the time I am, but not always. And I find that when I do drag myself here, and by the time I'm here and experiencing the meeting, it's like, I'm so glad that I'm here. And so again, that's just, I think, a great example of, like, it was God's will for me to be at this meeting. Here's another one, kind of another great example. It says, or when we're in a group of people who are gossiping about someone we dislike, we might be inclined to join in with a few comments of our own first. But we've learned from experience that gossip is not good for us. So we know it's God's will that we not take part in the damaging conversation. Honesty, common sense, and a sincere willingness to follow our new spiritual path are sufficient to show us the way. And I just love those couple of examples, just really laying out for me, like, what, you know, some examples of what God's will is. And as I've was kind of writing about this, you know, it made me reflect on just some other experiences that I've had along the way, and I've really been able to attribute those to, that's God's will as well. So I think just all of those experiences, and I think the thing is, we always have to remember that how, like, kind of what happened afterwards or how I felt afterwards, that was a great, you know, that was probably God's will for us. Just going to read a couple of other things real quick here before I wrap up, but that I just, again, things I found interesting or helpful for me from this step three. It says, taking step three shows our willingness to live by God's will. Again, a great reminder, step three, that willingness to follow God's will. And it says, instead of acting on impulse, we pause long enough to learn God's will. Then instead of resorting to willpower, we relax and reach out to receive help from our higher power. All we need to say is, God, please help me do your will. So we have what we need anytime we are willing to let go of self-will and humbly ask for help. And with that, I'm wrapping up. I'll wrap up. And next, I would like to introduce our guest speaker, Megan.
Hey, all. It's Megan. Let's see. Thank you for the introduction, Sheila. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here with everybody tonight. Let me see if I can get myself centered here. I don't know if I'm centered. Okay. Well, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. I am Megan. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in Virginia. I have, the reason I volunteered to speak tonight is that February 2nd, 2009 was when I walked into the rooms of OA How. And so even though it is certainly not my back-to-back date, I always kind of view it as another year of recovery, even though my line, I have not had a straight line through recovery as many of us have not. I have a few pictures. I'm going to see if I can show them. So today I am 47 years old. I'm at an abstinent weight. I've been maintaining my weight for a bunch of years now. And when I was younger, let's see if you can see this. That is me in my early 20s, probably about 23, 24, maybe. Yeah, this is a year or so after that. My top known weight that I ever saw documented was 275, but I know it was a pregnant weight. So even if you give the baby a generous 25 pounds between baby and fluids and all that good stuff, EF figure 250 was probably around my top weight. Again, I didn't own a scale. I really couldn't tell you. I did not get on that scale at all. The only reason I know I ever hit that high weight was because I saw it on a doctor's chart somewhere. So I am a garden variety compulsive overeater. I do not have some horrible childhood trauma to say, well, that's why. I just don't. I always remember food being essential at the center of my experience with the world. It was the way I dealt with the highs and the lows, as we speak of. And it was always my focus since I was a very little child. I always tell the story that I remember being 3 or 4. I was watching Sesame Street and I was looking at Cookie Monster in the TV, and he was building with these blocks. They were cylindrical shaped pastel blocks. To me, they looked like marshmallows. And I remember wanting to get into the TV and eat the marshmallows that Cookie Monster was playing with. And just all kinds of, just always the holidays. My grandmother was a very good cook. My mom is a very good cook. And every holiday had its special food. And that's what I focused on. So I think from my earliest memories, I was a compulsive overeater. I also, from the time I was a young child, struggled with anxiety and periods of depression and feeling like a fish out of water, like I did not fit. And again, I had loving parents, a good family who did the best they could for me. But my mom is one of us. So I definitely learned or observed, I don't know if I learned them or they were innate, but I observed the behaviors that she had. And the rest of the family tree, there was an awful lot of alcoholics and codependents hanging out, and grandparents and such. So strong family history of addiction. One of the things I learned from watching my mom struggle with this disease for my entire life was that dieting was pointless. I watched my mom gain and lose a whole person at least 5 times. And so as I started to put on weight as a young adult, I was a normal sized child. I was very active. After I had my first child, you know, you put on that more than you should have, more than I should have, 40 or 50 pounds, maybe probably about 40 with my first child. And then I would never lose the weight. And then my second child came 15 months after my first one, and I never lost the weight. In fact, sometimes with a few of my pregnancies, I gained more weight in postpartum than I did in the pregnancy itself, because I would have some pretty severe food aversions during a pregnancy. But then postpartum, I would use food to medicate the postpartum depression that I struggled with. And self-medicating with food for the anxiety and depression and my just overall inability to deal with reality is a really big part of my story. again, still feeling like a fish out of water, still feeling like I don't quite belong or know how to fit in. And now I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I have a large family. And we moved away from family. My husband was active duty military for 21 years. So we didn't live close to a support system. And I just fell headfirst into the food. So by the time you saw that those pictures that I was in my early to late 20s, I just was ballooning up because I could do nothing but eat. I actually followed my mom into the rooms of OA, not OA How, but OA. My mom found OA in 2005. After a series of events. And I came into OA not because my mom lost a whole person, because again, I had seen that a bunch of times, but because she changed. And the transformation of her personality really did grab my attention. So I really want to put a shout out there to, you know, just that idea, attraction versus promotion, really is powerful when somebody who knows you sees the miracle that working the 12 steps produces in somebody's life. It really is attention grabbing, and it got my attention. So I skated in the rooms on my mom's coattails. I went to my first OA meeting in 2006. I went to a local meeting. There's not a huge amount of strong recovery in my area. My mom did not live by me. My mom lives in a few states away at that point. And so she came down to visit for a few weeks in the summer, and I went to a meeting with her. And I did have some recovery working traditional OA. I would say for like maybe 6 or 9 months. I don't remember exactly. But what happened was I fell out of fit spiritual condition. I got really angry at God. I was pregnant again. I found out I was pregnant, and I was going to be having this baby either right before my husband left on another deployment, which we knew was going to be at least 9 months, or right after. And I was really angry at God. And somebody said to me in program, well, you know, you really need to talk to God. You really need to be, you know, asking God for the support for what you need. And I remember saying to this person, I'm sorry, God and I aren't talking right now. And you can imagine, you know, you don't last long in this program if you are not relying on your higher power, and God is my higher power. So I went into relapse. I lost about 50 or 60 pounds. Gained all of that back. Well, I was pregnant, so I gained back weight with the pregnancy, gained more back postpartum, because again, that's my biggest struggle, period. And I remember one night I hadn't binged for the entire day, which was like unusual, because I would get up in the morning, I would start eating at like 10 o'clock, and I would just eat my way through the entire day. And usually mid-afternoon, I would say, oh, I need to run out and do an errand. And I would go and I would like make the rounds, you know, the convenience store, the supermarket, buying more stuff in the supermarket. I ate my way through the supermarket. Cannot tell you how many times I got to the cash register, handed the lady the empty bag of chocolate or whatever I had eaten through the supermarket to pay for it, and then brought the rest of my food home. Then I would go through the drive-through of whatever, you know, wherever I was going, and make a last stop at that same convenience store that was at the head of my road, the top of my road, to clean out all the trash from my car so that no one saw the evidence, like I was fooling somebody. So I hadn't done that all day, this particular day. And I thought, I know there are phone meetings. I'm going to call in, because if I sat down to watch TV, I was just going to binge all night. So I looked at the computer screen and I followed it across, and I saw what the next meeting starting was. And I dialed in. It was the Wednesday night meeting of OA How. It used to start at 8:30. And I dialed in to that meeting. I wouldn't have called if I knew it was a How meeting, because I knew the How people were crazy. And I did not want to do what they did. And I heard hope. I heard my story. I heard people who did the things that I did with food, the craziness that I did with food. And I heard hope and life and joy and serenity. I mean, it just blew me away. So that was actually, I think, January 31st of 2009. And I made some phone calls, got a sponsor, and February 2nd was my first date, my first abstinence date. And the miracles that happened in this program, when I started working the steps, amazed me. You know, yeah, I lost 90 pounds. Great. That's not the amazing part. I had over 3 years where I did not struggle with depression, which was, I had never had that kind of mental health in my entire adult life. I started to be able to, you know, face life, to live as a real person, not hiding, not escaping all the time. I began to grow up, I began to develop skills, and it was an amazing time. In spring of 2012, I had a series of events that happened in 2012, culminating in September of 2012, me deciding to walk away from program. And this is the lie that the disease told me, which I want to share. The disease told me if I was going to be in this much pain, because I was in a lot of pain at the time, I might as well eat. I might as well have some comfort. We had lost a baby. My husband had retired from the military, and there was a lot of stress and instability in our life. We didn't know where the job was. He finally got a job out of town. So my husband's finally retired from the military. He's still not home. My son, who was 4 at the time, just turning 5, was diagnosed with autism and a bunch of other stuff thrown in there. And it was a really hard year. And maybe one of those things I would have worked through, but I did not maintain my fit spiritual condition. Again, there's a theme here, right? I didn't maintain my fit spiritual condition. And the disease told me the lie that I deserved some amount of comfort in all of this pain. And so I left. I called my sponsor, like my normal sponsor call that morning. I had been working program for 3.5 years at this point. I called her up and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. And I stopped. And I was in the food within, I would say that day, if not that day, within the first 2 or 3 days, I was headfirst in the food. That was September of 2012. And when I finally got desperate, when I finally got the gift of desperation and the gift of willingness, it was November, a year later. So November of 13, I had gained right at about 100 pounds and I was miserable. You know, when they say your disease is doing push-ups in the hall, they are not joking. I took that first bite, and that first bite gives you that momentary escape. And then the second bite, I was in hell. And I was in hell for that 14 months. So I never completely detached from the meetings. I would still call in. I would, you know, ghost in the background. I wouldn't do anything. I would just listen. And one night I heard a speaker who really touched me, and I had this moment of willingness, and I called her and I told her my story, and I said, would you be willing? I don't know if I can. And I was honest that I do not know if I can do it. I do not know if I can, but would you be willing to try? And she said, yes. She saved me that night. And I am forever grateful to her. She left program 2 weeks after I came back in. And I still to this day pray that she finds her moment of willingness again. you know, because she saved me. So 5 minutes, I see that. Thank you. So I've been abstinent since then with, you know, a green bean slip or two. So my back-to-back date is June 8th of 2015. And, you know, in all that time, I've lived life. You know, we have this idea sometimes when we're in the food and, you know, you're, you know, 230, 240, 250 pounds. And you think, if I could just get to that weight, right? If I could just get to 125 pounds, if I could just fit into a size 8 or 6 pants, life would be good again, right? Now, life is still life. Life is still really hard. Life is also wonderful, blessed, and joyous, but it doesn't stop being life. And so, you know, in the past few years, you know, I've lived through, I've had a child try to commit suicide. My son is still autistic. We have some really hard days. I have a child right now who is really struggling and suffering and trying to figure out how to get her the help she needs and what it is she needs. I think she might be anorexic. You know, we've had people in our family die. And, you know, we've also, my daughter got married last year and kids are moving out and moving up and starting their own lives. And so there's all of this life, and in it all of it, I have weighed and measured, made food changes and phone calls when I needed to, made 3 phone calls a day to fellows to say, you know, what's going on in my life and share as best as I can where I am. And people walk me through it every day, you know. Thank God for anonymity. I would not have been willing to be open and honest with people without the strong, strong anonymity that we have in this program. And thank God for the fact that we all work it together, that I know when I call you and I say what's going on with me, that you're doing the same things I am every day. And when I can't see what's going on, you can reflect back to me. When I can't hear the disease rattling around in my head, one of you will say, you know, I hear some resentment there. Or I'm hearing a lot of fear, or this is what I've done to help work through that in the past. You know, because when the disease is loud and roaring in my head, I'm not sane and I can't hear it. And I need you to reflect that back to me. And then when I'm in a better place, I can hear it. I can hear the disease in somebody else. I can hear the disease when you call me and you're like, you know, freaking out. And I can reflect that back to somebody else. That's the we of the program. That's why it is so powerful. I know I don't have much time left. I did want to say that one of the things I've really learned from my relapses and from my not straight line is that the disease tells us a few lies. At least I know the disease has told me these lies over and over again. The first lie is always that the brownie is going to fix it. You know, that, you know, the brownie is going to fix, you know, my son having autism. No, but the disease claims it will. The brownie is going to fix the depression or the anxiety or the fact that my house is falling down around my ears or that my husband is being deployed again. Nope, doesn't fix any of it. So that's the lie that the disease tells that we believe. And then once we pick up that first bite, we're in that spiral of the, you know, the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, and we're lost. So the next lie that the disease has told me, and I hear in other people, is that you can't work this program because fill in your blank, right? And we all have that blank, right? Mine will tell me, I can't work this program because I have a large family. I have 9 children. I can't work this program because I have a special needs son. I can't work this program because whatever. Your blank will be different, but you will have that blank that the disease says you can't do this because. And that is a lie. This program works. If you show up and you are willing and honest, you can work this program no matter what. And it is a program for those who want it. It is a program that gives you an amazing life, allows you to walk through whatever is right in front of you today in a sane, happy, useful way. And I really appreciate you being here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Megan. We do not have time for pitches tonight. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Megan, who offered so much of herself. Thank you, Megan. May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, everyone. That's down. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make their minds up to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust anything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort and thought and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do someone a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody but myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thank you, and I pass.
For those of us joining in, for those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Yay, thank you. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change, the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God will not mind when you
work it and give a lot of love.
Woo!
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everyone. Thank you all. Good night.
Bye, everybody. Great meeting. Thanks, Megan.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Night, night, all. Good to see everybody.
Thank you, Megan.
Night.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.